We celebrate, so we usually take the Sunday closest to October 31st and celebrate the Reformation. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear His Word and receive His gifts today. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, the great Luther hymn and sort of anthem of the Reformation. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3. Divine Service Setting 3. That's on page 184 and following. We have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. The propers are on the other. The focus today is on the gospel reading from John chapter 8. And one other note, when we, if you look on page 4 in the bulletin, to the choral anthem, which is in the spot for the sermon hymn, we have a combination with choir and instruments and congregation with Thy Strong Word. So that's hymn 578. And just note, the congregation is invited to sing verses 3, 5, and 6. Verses 3, 5, and 6. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Vicar is in Hickman today as Pastor Russert is in Oregon visiting his father. And so we pray for blessings on both of those journeys. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gifts You give us today. We thank You for the gift of the truth. Heavenly Father, we live in a world that mocks and scorns even the notion that there is such a thing as truth. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for the truth that sets us free. Lord God, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of the One who is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. We sing hymn 656, A Mighty Fortress, as is the Lutheran tradition. Please stand as you are able. 656.
Thank you. worship, divine service, setting number 3, page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant to us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray for your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn to the words of our introit. We chant them together as printed on your bulletin insert.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies. And grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The first lesson for Reformation Day comes from the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give Him glory, because the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water." This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We turn to the words of the gradual. We speak them together.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God. Walk about thine, go around her, number her towers, consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels, that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever.
The epistle comes from the third chapter of Paul's letter to the Church of God in Rome. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the Alleluia verse. Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, "If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This is the gospel of our Lord. Having heard the very word of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, we confess our common Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten of not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things are made, who for us then and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sit at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and Giver of life, who proceeds from Father and Son, who with Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day. 578. The congregation is invited to join in verses 3, 5, and 6.
Thank you.
said to the Jews who had believed in Him, "If you abide in My Word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Please be seated. Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation, that gospel that we heard a moment ago, John chapter 8, truth, freedom, Word, Son, everything that is wrapped up for us as believers in the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, dear friends in Christ. Growing up in a rural Nebraska town, I had a little bit of a sheltered understanding of what people thought of the Lutheran Church. Grew up in a town that was about 49% Lutheran, about 49% Roman Catholic, and about 2% other. It didn't take me long to realize that 51% of the town had kind of an odd feeling or an odd understanding about what a Lutheran was. I was surprised how many people thought that Lutherans worshipped Martin Luther. It just never dawned on me that the name Lutheran maybe implied that to some people. It brought me great joy to be able to tell others that we do not worship Martin Luther, that we do not worship the writings of a man, but the Word of God, the truth that God has given us in His Word. And today, as we, for the 499th time, remember the posting of the 95 theses on the church door, October 31, 1517, maybe as Lutherans we need to be reminded that sometimes we act as if we do participate in some sort of hero worship regarding a man. May that never be so among us. Today, we celebrate the truth of God's Word. Not the writings of a man, not the life of a man, no matter how important or significant they may be. You really can't understand history in any way, shape, or form without knowing something about the Reformation. But we're not here to talk about politics. We're not here to talk about culture or civilization. We are here to talk about the truth of God's Word. Many people have summarized the Reformation, the theological Reformation, with three Latin phrases. Sola gratia, sola fide, sola scriptura. By grace alone, by faith alone, by scripture alone. And that's a good starting place for us. And today, God's Word from John chapter 8 really brings us into those three solas. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, "If you abide in My Word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Truth is vital. But what is truth? The truth is that we cannot save ourselves. What is built into our bodies because of original sin, what is built in to the world, because of the way the world works, is a system of works righteousness. What you do somewhere along the line generates some sort of reward. It's the way the world works. It's the way our heart works. And yet when it comes to salvation, God's salvation, God's forgiveness is by grace alone. Grace alone. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. Our salvation is either by grace or it is by works. You can't have it both ways. Sometimes people want to take that word grace and do all kinds of crazy things with it. Redefine it. Redefine it in a way that grace is a quality in you, which means you have to do something in order for grace to be real, for grace to be grace. Some would even act as if grace is like some sort of a shot that we give so that we can achieve good works perfectly. Sort of like a spiritual performance-enhancing drug. My friends, if your salvation is not by grace alone, you haven't got a prayer. Literally. It's up to you. And you are still a slave. When we hear that word slave, it generally evokes quite a reaction, doesn't it? It did here. When Jesus spoke these words, the people that He spoke them to became very angry. They answered Jesus, "We are offspring of Abraham, and we have never been enslaved to anyone." Aside from the fact that they were currently under bondage with the Roman government, how is it that you can say you will become free? Sometimes we get a little mixed up too, don't we? We like to mix up our faith with our citizenship. This is America. We live in the land of the free. How dare you tell me that I am not free? My friends, we live in a free country and we can worship as we like. But that has absolutely nothing to do with your faith life and your spiritual walk. God gives us the truth. And the truth of His Word is that we are slaves. Slaves to sin. We don't like to hear it. But we know it's true, don't we? We know when we break God's law, it's written into our hearts. God gives us clearly the Ten Commandments. We know that we fall short. We know that God's Word, God's law, condemns us. And yet, what do? We take those Ten Commandments and we apply them to others. We use the Ten Commandments to justify ourselves and condemn others. Look at how much better I am than he is or that she is. We take God's Word of law, and we turn it into a mockery, into a travesty. My friends, God's law condemns you. The Ten Commandments are to be a reflection for you. When God says, "Be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy," He is speaking to you. To use His word of law to somehow justify ourselves is perhaps the greatest fool's gold in the world. We feel pretty good about ourselves, don't we? But Jesus says, this kind of nonsense leaves you in your sin and you are still a slave. No. Jesus says, the truth will set you free. Not your works, or as is so popular in America today, not your choice. So much of our country, so much of our churches have gotten into this notion that all you need to do is make better choices. Make better choices. Choose to be a better person. Choose to do the right thing. Choose to be a better husband. Choose to be a better father. Choose to be a better worker or student or citizen. Choose to be a better Christian. Does God want us to make good choices in our Christian walk? Well, of course He does. But that is not the sum and substance of our Christianity. Because if it were, being good choice or making a good choice is nothing more than another way of saying doing good works. To make better choices still leaves you in your sin and guilt and shame for the bad choices you made last week, or last month, or last year, or last decade. No. Christianity is not some spiritual improvement, some ladder where we work our way to God. The truth is, as we confessed just a few moments ago, we are poor, miserable sinners. My friends, God has seen our state. And in His love, in His mercy, in His compassion, and even in His justice, He has taken the initiative. He has sent His Son. The Word, made flesh, dwells among us. He lives. He dies. He rises again. Why? Not simply to prove that He has the power to do it. He does it to set us free. To set us free from sin, from guilt, from shame, from death, from everlasting condemnation. The truth is that there is only one way to be set free from your sin, and that is through the one who says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." Jesus and Jesus alone, the God-man who came to live and die for you. My friends, you are either a slave or you are free. If this Jesus sets you free, you are really free. You know the truth. And that truth, Jesus, sets you free. And if Jesus has not set you free, if you do not believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, you're still a slave. A slave to your sin. My friends, we live in a world where to speak the truth or to claim to speak the truth is held in very, very low regard. How dare you say that you have the truth? That's just your opinion. How dare you say that? That offends me. And so what do Christians do? We cower in fear. We refuse to speak on the public square because we might be mocked or ridiculed. We begin to question and to doubt. Well, is it really the Word of God? We become timid. We become ashamed. We allow the voices of unbelief, the voices of pagans, the voices of those who hate the truth to embarrass us to the point of silence. My friends, hear what Jesus has to say. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth of Jesus Christ for you. The truth of a freedom that can only come through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus for you. The truth of God's Word for you will well up into a confidence and a conviction to speak the truth, to live the truth, to share the truth. You will not be able to keep it inside. Did you hear the words of our introit? I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord, and shall not be put to shame. Convinced of the truth of God's Word, we will share it in our homes. We will pass it on to our children and our grandchildren. We will talk about it with our neighbor across the fence, at the coffee shop and the beauty parlor. We will not be able to keep the truth of God's Word in us because it is who we are. It is what we are. It is life and salvation. This, my friends, is what the Reformation is about. Not about a monk who lived 500 years ago. It's about the truth of God's Word. And anything or anybody that suppresses this truth is not of God, but is of Satan. My friends, it's time for us to repent of our silence, to repent of our timidity, to repent of our lack of conviction, to repent of our lack of confidence regarding the Word of God. If the Son sets you free, you are free. Free to live. Free to love. Free to laugh. Free to work. Free to play. Free to study and learn. Free to take advantage of the wonderful opportunities we have in this land of the free and home of the brave. But my friends, remember that with all freedom comes great responsibility. Jesus Christ has set you free. Live in this freedom with the confidence and conviction that only Christ can give. My friends, May this be our Reformation theme. Today and tomorrow, and God willing, for the next 499 plus years. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Having heard the Word of God, we respond with the Word of God. Please stand as we sing the offertory, page 192. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life for you and for the life of the world. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the freedom that you have in Christ Jesus would well up into a confidence and conviction that no one can snatch away. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and offerings.
addition to the prayers as listed in your news and notes, we remember Marge Kelly, who is hospitalized. We also remember Lucy Roberts, who is recovering from a hospitalization. And also make note that we remember the family of Mo Hilly, who the Lord took to Himself this past week, laid to rest this weekend. We stand for prayer. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Let us lay before Him the needs of all people. God of grace, keep us steadfast in Your Word that makes us Christ's disciples and teaches us Your truth. Guide our wayward hearts so that we never follow the false gospels that lead us away from You. Provide for us and Your whole church faithful pastors who preach with purity and joy that we are saved by Your grace alone, through faith alone, because of Jesus Christ alone. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of grace, we confess that we commit sin and we are slaves to sin. Grant to each of us humble repentance, along with confident faith that never doubts Your promise, that because Your Son has set us free, we are free indeed. Give us a zeal for learning Your promises and Your ways from Scripture alone. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of grace, You present Your Son as a sacrifice of atonement. Give us lips that are ready and eager to tell people in our communities and the people of the world of the freedom won by Christ. As Your eternal gospel is proclaimed to every nation and tribe and language and people, free many from the prison house of sin and death, so that many will live in freedom here on this earth and for eternity in the new heavens and the new earth. Lord, in Your mercy, God of grace, when we are concerned over the state of our world, remind us that even when nations are in uproar and kingdoms fall, You remain Lord of all. Teach us to be still and know that You are God. Show us and all people the joy that comes in following Your ways instead of yielding to the ways of this world. Guide all who govern us so that evil is thwarted, righteousness is rewarded, true marriage is honored, and the lives of the unborn are protected. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of grace, do not let Your people fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Come to the rescue of all people in need, especially those who have requested our prayers. Comfort them with the promise that You, the Lord Almighty, are with them. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of grace, lead us with humble and joy-filled hearts to the supper of Your Son's body and blood. Unite us as Your people. Prepare us with this meal for life and for death. Keep us as You kept all the faithful who went before us, especially Mo, who now rests with You. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of grace, hear our prayers and help Your people. For we pray through Your Son, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The service of the sacrament is found on page 194. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave and by His glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and saying,
Holy,
We pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Now this true body and precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Do depart with peace, with great joy, your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand for the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. We stand for our closing hymn, 582.
Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Kids, you can go and get some goodies, and we'll be back in here in about 5 or 6 minutes for Sunday school opening, so make it quick, okay? We don't want to shortchange that. For the rest of you, check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. All the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead are listed there. We've got coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall, two opportunities for Bible study. We continue our look at Islam in the fellowship hall. Summary of Christian doctrine, an opportunity for a refresher in the faith, or if you'd like to find out a little bit more what Lutheran Christians believe, what are we studying today, Pastor? Salvation accomplished. Maybe like some Good Friday and Easter stuff? Yeah, very good. All right. So, I mentioned already Vickers and Hickman, keep them in your prayers. The Stephen Ministry Workshop is coming up. It's this next Saturday. It's free for members of Good Shepherd. Check out the details. Sign up. We need a food count. The Thanksgiving dinner that we put on for the older members of our congregation is coming up Thursday, November 17. We need lots of helpers. There's a sign-up sheet for that. Also, we're having a dance here. Now, see, go home and tell people that the Lutherans are going to have a dance. That'll really throw them for a loop. All right. Sunday, December 4, there's going to be a dance here. It's a fundraiser for KNNA Radio. So check that out. They're selling tickets in the back for that. Should be a fun time and a great way for some fellowship and to help spread the news about the radio. Thank you for the music. We get to hear it one more time for those of us that will be here at the 10:30 service. Outstanding. Thank you. Pastor? Okay. Last but not least, yesterday here at Good Shepherd, we paid our last respects to a good and faithful member of our congregation, Mo Hilly. And Mo was a tremendous man on a lot of respects and a lot of situations. And one of the things that some of you know but not everybody knew was the part that Mo played in getting us back into the Vicarage program about 7 or 8 years ago and helping financially with that. It is a great blessing. Thanks be to God for his life and his example. And as God's Word says, well done, good and faithful servant. It is always hard to say goodbye. But as I've said many times, even with a tear in my eye, there is no greater joy for a pastor than to transfer a member to heaven. Thanks be to God. Adrian, may your comfort be in Jesus. Please join us for coffee and goodies. Sunday school opening in here in 3 or 4 minutes. Have a great day in the Lord. Okay.